So you are probably aware that Purim has passed, which means it means that Pesach is coming, which of course is a very scary thought. And for those of us in the rabbinate, Pesach is actually, I would say, even scarier than it is for those not in the rabbinate, because there are lots of shilohs that come up. There's an inordinate amount of time that is spent on selling chametz, etc. And the way I prepare for Pesach, I have to admit my dirty little secrets, I say shiurim, because one thing that Rabbi Parnas once said is lalamed almanas lomod, that if you don't teach, you end up not learning. So if I wouldn't prepare shiurim on Pesach-type topics, basically life would just take over and I'd never learn anything. So, in that, because of that, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to begin Pesach-type topics, although we're not really at Pesach yet, so I'd like to speak briefly about some Nisan topics, and then we'll move on to Pesach topics the next few weeks.
Something you do at Pesach time?
So, well, let's talk about Maos Chitim is the first thing, okay?
Okay.
So, Maos Chitim is the mitzvah to give some tzedakah. The Rama writes, minhag liknos chitim lechalkan la'aniyin l'tzorach Pesach. Right? There's a minhag to buy wheat and divide it up to the poor people for Pesach. Apparently there's an obligation that anyone who lives in the town for 12 months has to donate to the Ma'os Chitim campaign. That's the halacha. It's interesting that the only yontiv about which, where there is a mitzvah, a specific mitzvah of tzedakah that is connected to the yontiv, is Pesach. Right, we do have a Kol Nidre appeal in the shul, although you can look through Shulchan Aruch, you won't see the words Kol Nidre appeal anywhere. Ma'os Chitim is connected to Pesach, and that appears in Shulchan Aruch. That's the real halacha. I thought, and I once gave a speech about this in shul, that maybe this is connected to the Targum of Unklos on the word Pesach, no? We translate Pesach as what? Passover, right? U'pasach Hashem ala Pesach, that God passed over the doors of the Jews. But if you look in Targum Unklus, the Targum on the word of Upasach, and this is a point that Rav Huttner makes in the Sefer HaZikaron for Rav Huttner, they have a few smaller pieces of Machshava from Rav Huttner. So one of the points that he makes over there is that the Teich, according to Targum, of the word Upasach is Vachamol, and you had compassion, you had Rachmanus, no? God, Upasach Hashem means that God had rachmonus on Bnei Yisrael. God had compassion on us. And compassion is part and parcel of the Pesach experience, right? How come we begin the Seder with halach ma'anya, with inviting people in? Especially at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, I couldn't invite people in right at the beginning of the Seder because they had to become a part of my Karban Pesach Chabura, which you can't do already once it's shechted. So what are we doing by inviting people in? We're demonstrating this idea that we have compassion, that we have rachmanis, we are inviting people in, that is part and parcel of who we are. I like to say over from Rav Kook, Rav Kook knows that at the beginning of the Haggadah, we uncover the matzahs, and we say a few things. The matzah, says Rav Kook, Alpi Kabbalah, refers to the essential Jew. What is the essential Jew? It's the stuff that comes out in Halach Ma'anya. Right, it's called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. It's inviting people in. Kol Ditzuch Yesei V'Yifsach, Rav Kook explains, is an idea of Limud HaTorah. And then there's also the idea of a yearning for Eretz Yisrael that comes out. Hashata Hachal Hashana Haba Ba'Arad Yisrael comes right out. So we are stripping ourselves down. We're uncovering our essential element. And part of our essential element is Chesed. Because chesed is such a part of the Pesach experience, that's what the word Pesach means, that is also, I think, why there is a special mitzvah of Ma'os Chitim for Pesach. Right? Because the only yontiv that we have this is the yontiv about Rachmanis. Now, the Mishnah Berurah comments that this minhag of Ma'os Chitim is a very, very old minhag. The Gemara in Bava Basra, or I should say the Yerushalmi in Bava Basra, has it. And it says that people could force you to donate Ma'os chitim. Bezdin could take their whip or their stick and they could beat you unless it, until you give your ma'os chitim. Now, unlike regular tzedakah, there are practices that we give money. Ma'os chitim, the practice is that we want to give stuff which is mekarva hanayasayhu. We want to give things that the hana'ah is closer by, no? So therefore, we give chitim, wheat, or the practice developed Mishnah Berurah wrote in Sifkat and Daled, that the practice is that they don't give wheat, they give flour, which is more usable than wheat. Wheat involves that you have to grind it. The practice has developed since the time in the Mishnah Berurah that you don't give wheat or flour, you give matzahs. Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Jewish Community Council of Washington Heights, has a matzah distribution that takes place in 90 Bennett. You can come, anyone wants, pick up your matzahs, no? Matzahs, really, mekarva hanasayhu, the hana'ah comes right away. Now, there is, what?
Did it say how much
do you... How much do you have to give? Yes, yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Vav says that wealthy people give more than poor people. The idea of ma'os chitim is, right, that I give in accordance to that which God gave me. If I am wealthier, I give more. If I am poorer, I give less. But everyone has a chiyuv to give ma'os chitim. It's part of the chiyuv. Now, this is above your regular chiyuv of tzedakah. Remember, a poor person comes in town, is passing through. The Beis Din in town has to have a tzedakah agency that's established, that the tzedakah agency will give the person two meals per day, no? Ma'os chitim is different than that. Ma'os chitim is only for people who live in town. The aniyim in town are the recipients of ma'os chitim. The people passing through are recipients of regular tzedakah. I have my mitzvah tzedakah all year long. Ma'os chitim, my special Pesach mitzvah, is that I, when I have been living in the town for 12 months, or if I moved in intending on staying there 12 months... That's a question, Washington Heights, no? When someone moves in, how long do they plan on staying? Right? You have to figure it out. There's some people, Baruch Hashem, have been here for much longer than 12 months. But that's the reality of the mitzvah of Ma'os Chitim, that you have to contribute based on the amount of money that you have, and residents of the town contribute, and it's an obligation. Beis Din can beat you up to pay. Yeah, Lottie?
I have a question. The Aguda has an overseas matzah campaign
For people in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, so that falls under Ma'os Chitim, no?
Ma'os Chitim is supposed to be for the local people. Ma'os Chitim is supposed to be for the local poor people, technically. It's a very nice thing to give to the Aguda campaign, but that's not the mitzvah Ma'os Chitim. Ma'os Chitim is supposed to be to give matzah, give to the JCC for Ma'os Chitim. They'll give to the local poor people. Or, if you want to help sponsor the Seder at Chabad, you want to help sponsor the Seder the JCC used to run the Seder, there's talk that maybe we'll have a Seder in the Shul this year, right? That is part of Ma'os Chitim. You're sponsoring, right, the practice developed. That's not only matzah, it's all Pesach needs. Good. So far, so good. Now, another reason, David. Those people do not have to give. Only people who have money may have to give Ma'os Chitim. But, unlike tzedakah, for example, the Mishnah comments that a Talmud Chacham is technically pater from giving tzedakah. The Gemara tells us of being above a Basra. But a Talmud Chacham has to give Ma'os Chitim. Right? But if you're really poor, if you're either you give or you get. Right? That's the Lashon of the Yerushalmi in Bava Basra that the Arzarua quotes, that the Darki Moshe quotes as a source of Ma'os Chitim, either you give or you get. Everyone has got to be involved in either the giving or the getting. Now, one of the reasons for Ma'os Chitim, B'davka by Pesach, I said a Shtukel Torah because Pesach is a Yontav Rachmanus. Rabbi Gedalia Felder was a very interesting Talmud Chacham in Toronto, no? He wrote 6 volumes of the Sefer Yesod Yeshurun. He wrote a volume of Tshuvas. He wrote beautiful, beautiful things. Beautiful Sfarim. His son is a rabbi in Philadelphia.
Yes.
He was the rabbi in Toronto. So Rabbi Gedalia Feld in his Yesod Yeshurun, this is on page 10, has a different suggestion as to why Ma'os Chitim is connected to the Pesach experience. And his suggestion runs as follows. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us on Daf Tazayin that on Pesach we are nidonin al hatavua. That on the Yontif of Pesach we are judged on grain. What does it mean that on Pesach we're judged on grain? So Rabbi Felder quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh. I'm sorry, it's page 12, not page 10. My apologies. He quotes him, right, for those of you taking score. So Rabbi Felder quotes in the Zohar HaKadosh. That the Zohar quotes, God gave us grain, sustenance, in the past year. In other words, God judges us on Pesach. He says, listen, I gave you tevuah, I gave you parnas, I gave you food during the year. Did you give it to the poor people? Did you not give it to the poor people? Comes Pesach, God judges us on Tevua, meaning God judges us, did we take the Tevua that was given to us, and did we properly give tzedakah to the poor people, to the Yisum, and to the Almanos? That's what the Zohar writes. Interesting Zohar, no? So the reason why we give Mos Chitin B'Davka before Pesach is to Chaparayin, that we know that God on Pesach is judging us based on the amount of tzedakah that we gave during the year. So it's almost like, do you always feel guilty when you fill out your tax forms? I know I do. I fill out my tax forms and like it's like contributions. How much that's Yom HaDin there, right? What were your contributions this year to charity, right? So the Yom HaDin in this sense is Pesach, that's why Ma'os Chitim is like your contributions on December 31st. That's the biggest tzedakah day of the year, no? All right, more checks at tzedakah on December 31st. And the rest of the year, I think many people are like that because you want to chaparayin for the previous year's tax benefits, right?
Yeah, of course.
Fine, next. So that is Ma'os Chitim. One chakira that is interesting to talk about when it comes to Ma'os Chitim is found in the Sefer Pischei Tshuva on Orachayim. Right, we know that there's a Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch Yeridei, at the bottom of Eben Ezra and Choshen Mishpat. In Orachayim, it's like a separate, very thin volume. Pischei Tshuva has the following chakira. Let's say there's somebody who wants Shmura Matzah. Now, Me'ikar Hadin, it could be Yotzei Matzah without the fancy Shmura Matzah. Certainly without. Do you know how much a pound of brisker Shmura Matzah costs now?
A lot.
I think it's like 50 some odd bucks a pound.
Like an oni.
Yeah. Whoa. Certainly when you're done with it, right? It's unbelievable. You become poor by buying those brisker shmurah matzahs. So let's say there's somebody who wants matzah mit ala hedirim, right? So is there a chiyuv on the community to give the person that type of matzah or not? Right? What's the mitzvah mois chitim? Is the mitzvah mois chitim, let's say, okay, we'll give you matzah, bare haritz margaritin. Yeah, straights. Right? We'll give you those matzahs. Or do we say, no, we'll give you the matzah that you want, right? Matzah that has a beard and a stry monpeus. Right? So, what's the mitzvah of matzah?
Isn't it like the ani that you have to give them what they were used to?
So, by an ani, we have an element of de machsora she yechsar bo, right? The Gemara says that you even have to give a poor person the sus lirkov alav. I think I mentioned this in the shiur that we gave on Stucca. My father, Baruch Hashem, is in charge of a gemach. The community that my parents live in is a wealthy community. The gemach in that town has given people money for a Lexus. And the reason for that is because this person, who previously had a high-power job, and was driving that type of car, now is unemployed, and he felt it was such an insult to his ego. So, me'ikar hadin, that's a mitzvah tztuk of de machsoro, right? That you have to give the person what they are missing themselves. There is a certain hashkafic problem with someone saying that I need it and telling the gemach that this is what I need. But me'ikar hadin in hilchos tztuk, that's clear. But what about hilchos Ma'os Chitim? And Ma'os Chitim, do I have to give you Mechudar Matzahs? So the Sefer Pischei Tshuva Orachayim thinks that the Mishnah in Demai is applicable here. The Mishnah tells us in the third parak of Demai, parak Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, Machilin es ha'aniyim Demai, ve'ez ha'achsanya Demai. No? That the halacha is Demai. Demai is food that you bought from an Am Ha'aretz. You're not sure if Trumas and Maises were taken off of it. Generally speaking, you have to take off Trumas and Maises from Demai and then eat it. Mm-hmm. And Oni, you feed Demai straight up. Why? Because Zainit from Afyanim's places. Right? Don't try to take off your Demai if it's just going to mean that we have to give you more. So the Aniyim eat Demai. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay. So it says the Sefer Pesachei Tshuva that he's inclined that according to this Mishnah that we shouldn't give the fancy expensive Shmur Matzahs to someone who requests it. But then again, he says if somebody has been eating the Shmur Matzahs for many years, so for that person, it might be almost mitam neder for them. So he thinks the community has a chiyuv mitam neder to do it. When we were saying shiurim in this room on Hilchos Tzedakah last summer, so we entertained questions of this sort. Is the chiyuv of Tzedakah, right, to give somebody money for things that otherwise are going to be a chumrah? Right? Like someone who wants to have Chol of Yisrael, do I have to give Tzedakah to be able to buy the Chol of Yisrael milk or not? We spoke about that question. I didn't really have any makoros on it when we discussed that question. Now I have a makar. It's this Pesachei Tshuva here in Or HaChaim in the Halachos of Mos Chitim. Okay, so that's issue number one that I wanted to address in terms of Chodesh Nisan, right, the very important mitzvah of Mos Chitim. Issue number two that I want to address is a minhag. I don't know if anyone really has this minhag in our community. Is there anyone here who reads Parshas HaNasiim? The first 12 days of Chodesh Nisan.
What is it?
So Parshas Nisim of the Pesukim in Parshas Naso. Bayom HaRishon Hikriv. Right? Whatever. Nasi. Yisabam. Nachshon Ben Amidav Nasi Yudav. We read on Chanukah. But many people have the practice to read it the first 12 days of Nisan also, no?
And why would that be so?
So, the reason is as follows. You see, the dedication of the Mishkan was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. After Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the 12 Shvatim each brought their carbon, which is Parshas HaNasiim, there in Parshas Naso, on the first 12 days of Nisan. After those 12 days of Nisan came and went, so day 13 of Nisan, so Aaron HaKoyen had a taina. He said, hey, what are you giving me? So he say, oh, Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem, you have Habakas HaMenorah. That's Yud Gimel Nisan. Yud Dalad Nisan is Erev Pesach. Tesvav Nisan is the first days of Chag HaMatzos. Right? Goes until Chav Beis Chav Gimel, Chutzar to Eretz Yisrael. No? Interestingly, the days that they brought of the Nisiyim, when they brought their Karbanos, are considered minor Yamim Tovim. Because this is the dedication of the Mishkan, so there's a minor yontiv that is set. One of the reasons why we don't say Tachnon, the entire month of Nisan, is we have the first 12, 13 days taken up by the Chanukah HaMishkan. Then we have Erev Pesach. Then we have Pesach going until 22, 23. No? And then after Pesach, right? After Pesach, also we have a yontiv. It's a yontiv that hasn't yet happened. No? The Gemara tells us, that's the way, I think Chacham Avadia Yosef begins. He has a beautiful sefer that he wrote when he was still in Cairo, called Chazon Ovadia on Pesach. So he begins with like the halachos of Chodesh Nisan. So Chacham Avadia points out that the month of Nisan is a month that the entire month is Yom Tovim, past, present, and future. Past being Chanukas HaMishkan, present the yontiv of what we call Pesach Chag HaMatzos, future, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, "B'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asidin lihigael." We have a principle, the Gemara in Moed Katan says, of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt on Pesach, on Chag HaMatzos, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, Nisan asidin lihigael, around this time, we can't celebrate then, because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, so we'll have the 7 days of Chanukas HaBeis HaMikdash at the end of Nisan. So the Gansa month, the entire month of Nisan is a festive month, past, present, and future. Right? That's the Yesod. Okay. Now, when it comes to the month of Nisan, So we read the Parashas HaNesiim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this practice. He says it's a good thing to do. Tov likros b'nisan b'koyom hanasi shalo. And then the 13th day you read Parashas Behaloscha ad Kein Asas HaMenorah. That's basically what's done. Now, this is quoted from the Shlach HaKadosh as being a minhag in Eretz Yisrael. Many people have this minhag, and many people lain in shul every day from a Sefer Torah. They generally do it after davening. After that, it's not part of the actual davening. It's not like regular Kriyas HaTorah. They do it after davening. They take out a Sefer Torah, and they'll lain. Now, on a day like a Monday or a Thursday, all of the Svarim that deal with this issue have the question, is it better to lay in the Parashas HaNesiim right after Kriyas HaTorah, or should you lay in at the end of davening? Because on the one hand, it's not regular Kriyas HaTorah. On the other hand, we don't like taking the Sefer Torah out for no reason. It's not considered respectful for the Sefer Torah. The Gemara writes in Yuma, the Yerushalmi writes in Yuma, that who goes to whom? The people should go to the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah shouldn't come to the people. We shouldn't take a Sefer Torah out for no reason. That's quoted in Aruch Chaim Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Yudalet, in terms of it might be usher to bring a Sefer Torah to people who are in prison. No? Might be usher to bring it to people in prison. B'nei Adam HaChavushim B'Veis HaAsurim. Right? It's not poshut that you are allowed to move a Sefer Torah. So to move a Sefer Torah, to do a reading which is not obligatory, is questionable. So maybe it's better to lain right after regular Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday or Thursday. Well, if we lain right after Kriyas HaTorah, you're going to think it's a regular Kriyas HaTorah. So we're kind of stuck. So what do we do? So there are two problems. So either way, it's a problem. And maybe it should be forbidden to take the Sefer Torah out to lain in general because it's moving the Sefer Torah for no purpose. So for that, the Acharonim say they don't think it's really moving a Sefer Torah for no purpose. This minhag is purpose enough of removing a Sefer Torah. Okay, so far so good. But there still is a discussion. There's a tshuva of the Meshev Davar, the Netziv, no? This is one of the first tshuvas that was written to America. It's written, L'kvod HaRav, blank, whoever it is, Be'ir, Cincinnati.
Oh, was it the guy who was from who moved from New Orleans to Cincinnati?
So I don't know who it was. I don't remember who this tshuva is to. But it's one of the first tshuvas that's written. J.D. Eisenstadt, in his Eitzer Yisrael, has a listing of the early tshuvas written to America. This is one of them. This is one of the first tshuvas written to America. Basically, a certain community wanted to dedicate a new Aron Kodesh. And when they wanted to dedicate the new Aron Kodesh, they took out the Sefer Torah, and they made hakafas, and they leaned on a Sunday. And this rabbi protested. And the question is, are you allowed to lean without making brachos? They didn't, chas v'shalom, make brachos when they leaned, but they wanted to show, I guess there are people coming to show the first time, only time, first time, long time, whatever it is, they come to show for the new Aron Kodesh dedication. So the community had a Kriyas HaTorah without brachos. Is this a good idea or it's not a good idea? So the first fellow who protested thought, oh, it's a bad idea. Maybe it's going to be usher because of Baal Tosef. Maybe there's a prohibition of adding on Kriyas HaTorah days. So the Netziv doesn't think that there's a problem of Baal Tosef, of adding on Kriyas HaTorah, but... Right? But he still says, right, that there's an additional problem. You see, if it's a day when there is Kriyas HaTorah anyway, Zok the Netziv, so you could lane as many times as you want. On the regular Kriyas HaTorah day, take out a Torah and lane. That's not a problem. Because the idea is that the bracha that I made on the earlier Kriyas HaTorah, so to speak, goes on the later Kriyas HaTorah. But if it's a day that there's no Kriyas HaTorah, he thinks there's an Isser. Here, pick up from the second line of the second paragraph. Mikol makom shaper ochiach malas kvo toraso nero yaya de biyom she'en kriyas haTorah klau yeshi sur bedavar mehasha hevi amagen avram mehasha nagol ahotzi lo chasen sefer Torah likra v'avram zakein. There's a practice that when you have a chasen, so you take out a sefer Torah and you lay v'avram zakein. And the Magen Avram in Kuf Mem Dalad says about this practice, v'zelo nahagu elo biyom kriyas haTorah Shmamina the ish eza iser b'davar holds his sefer Torah v'yom she'ein bo kriyas haTorah. Right? The Magen Avraham says that this minhag that you have to lain v'avam zaken for a chosan, you can only do on the day that has kriyas haTorah, a Monday, a Thursday, a Shabbos, whatever it is. But Rosh Chodesh. But if it's a day without kriyas haTorah, you can't take out a Torah to lain v'avam zaken, even without brachos. Now, what is the iser? So he wants to say that he thinks that the iser is because there's an obligation to make birchas haTorah when they have kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. It's unclear, right? The Yerushalmi writes, he quotes from Yerushalmi in a few lines, that the mitzvah d'oraisa, the Gemara says that the only two brachos that are d'oraisa is birchas hamazon and birchas haTorah. When is birchas haTorah d'oraisa? The Pashtus in Talmud Bavli is birchas haTorah d'oraisa whenever I go to learn and make a bracha, birchas haTorah. Aber the Yerushalmi says that the birchas haTorah that's d'oraisa is be'esha korin b'torah b'tzibur, when I lean in the tzibur. That means as follows. If I'm going to take out a Sefer Torah and lean without a bracha, and there's a whole crowd around, it's a Sunday morning at the dedication of my new Aron Kodesh and Shol, what I am doing is an Aveira of leaning the Torah without the bracha de Oraisa of Birchas haTorah that I am obligated to make when I lean Torah B'tzibur. This is the Chiddush of the Netziv. Therefore, the Netziv says that you cannot lean from a Torah on a day that there is no Kriyas haTorah obligation. Now, this means that the Hasidisha practice of leaning Sefer Devarim Hayshana Rabbah at night, according to Netziv, and by the way, it's not just the Netziv. Somehow this idea ran through Valojan. The Torah Rafael has a tshuva and Simon Beis in the Torah Rafael also, where he mentions that he thinks there is a problem, and the Devar Avram has the same Yerushalmi in the Tshuva, there's a Taisus HaRah, there's a lot of lumdis about this Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi sounds like there's an obligation of Birchas haTorah, Min haTorah when I lean B'tzibor, and if I'm going to lean B'tzibor without what? Without brachos, I'm in violation of not making Birchas haTorah when I have to. This answers a question. The practice, some people ask on the Netziv. Netziv, you're telling me it's usher to take out a Torah and lain the Parshas HaNesiim. That's basically what we're saying, right? According to Netziv, it's usher to take out a Torah to lain Parshas HaNesiim. But didn't the Heligar Arizal take out a Sefer Torah and be Maver Sedra? He would do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum from a Sefer Torah that was in the Aron Kodesh. There's actually somebody in our own community, Washington Heights, who tries to do this. It's strange. Very strange, right? He takes out a Sefer Torah to be Maver Sedra, to go over Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. I don't know where you find the Targum in the Sefer Torah, but whatever. He takes out a Sefer Torah to Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. Now the Radvaz has a tshuva about that. That's not going to be a problem according to Netziv. Because according to Netziv, the issue is that when I have an obligation of Kriyas, when I have an obligation of Birchas haTorah min haTorah, which is when I'm leaning from a Torah b'tzibur, then I can't do it. But if it's b'yachid, if I'm alone, I can learn from a Sefer Torah. Now there is a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sefer Torah who assumes that you shouldn't learn from a Sefer Torah on its own, no? The Magen Avraham writes as follows. You know, the Rush says that Bizman Hazeh were making the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah with Svarim, not with the Sefer Torah. Right? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah number 613, that Yushabato Kisul Chemes Hashirazos, right? A Sefer Torah. Zuck the Rush, that today you fulfill that mitzvah by purchasing Svarim. Nice, beautiful idea of the Rush. And there's a whole literature about this Rush. What do you mean? Did the mitzvah change? It used to be to write a Sefer Torah, now it's to write Sfarim. Obviously, the Rush understands that the idea is to have books to learn from. Okay, nice Rush, beautiful Rush. The Magen Avraham tries to analyze this Rush, right? The beginning of Hilchos Sefer Torah, in Simon Ayin Reish. Magen Avraham says, the Shach, as in Magen Avraham meant Shach. Shach and Simon Ayin Reish tries to analyze this Rush. He says, what are you talking about? Why do I learn from Sfarim? Why don't I learn from a Sefer Torah today? So he says, because it's considered, this isn't respectful for the Torah. Today we use the scroll in the shul as a tzibur, but we don't learn from it. Even if a person could learn from a Torah, you should not learn from a Torah, you should only learn from Sfarim. It's not respectful. That's what the Shach writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah. According to that shach, also, one could contend that maybe it's not the best thing to take out a Sefer Torah to lane Parshas HaNasiim from. Nevertheless, the Minhag HaOlam is to be make on these questions, but certainly there's a lot to discuss in terms of that. Yeah? No, he says that the way we fulfill it. You're right, Enoch 9. So it could be that the mitzvah didn't fully change, right? There's a whole shiur that we could give about mitzvah, sefer Torah, and the rush, etc. Yeah.
I'm just saying, how could it be a Zion for the sefer Torah?
So I'm learning, because this isn't the way I usually learn, is I take a sefer off the shelf. I don't take a scroll out. That's not the normal way I learn. They say the end of his life, the Vilna Gaon, used to just learn from Sefer Torah, no? He would look at the letters and... But they say, oh, the Goyin, like, Echveis, for him, like, the Tzuras HaOsius, he was coming up with a creating of the world ideas and stuff like that. For most of us, we don't learn from a Sefer Torah. It's not the normal way to learn. And therefore, if I learn from it, it's almost... It's not the normal way to learn. It's, like, not a respectful way of learning. It's not a proper way of learning. Proper way to learn is to learn the normal way. With an iPad.
I have 2 points.
Sure.
One, when you line from a Sefer Torah, somebody hands it to you. It's like the original Hakel. It's one thing. Second thing is you could drop the Sefer Torah or something, and, or
okay,
spill your coffee on it. And
right, so obviously, like, there's a concern. You always have to worry about the kavod of the Sefer Torah. Maybe it will drop, maybe... Someone told me about a bar mitzvah boy who one time was very nervous and like vomited all over the Sefer Torah when he started to lane. That was like a very unfortunate event. These things can happen. Okay. So that's the second thing I wanted to discuss in terms of the minhag of Chodesh Nisan. The third thing I wanted to...
What is the reason for this minhag?
The reason for the minhag is that since in the Siyim brought their karbanos the first 12 days of Nisan at the dedication of the Mishkan, right? So therefore, to reenact that, we lay in the parshios of those Nisan.
So, but is there a minhag to, there are all sorts of other events recorded in the Chumash, including events that involve the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Mishkan. Are there equivalent minhagim to those on those?
Not that I'm aware of.
Why specifically?
I don't know. Again, it might be part of the Nisan Nigalon Nisan Asidin Lehigal idea that we want to reflect back on Chanukas HaMishkan to prepare ourselves for the Chanukas HaBayis HaShlishi Shiyavu B'mher B'yameinu. Right. Again, the question is, like, how far you go off this idea. I understand what you're asking. I understand what you're asking. I don't know. Okay.
Is it a minhag ha'makom or just a regular minhag?
Again, it's a minhag that's quoted in Poskim. I don't know if this minhag was geographically based. I don't know if they did it in Western Europe, not Eastern Europe, or that type of thing. I'm not sure. I have no reason to assume one way or the other.
Okay.
I just don't know. Again, I don't think the Yekkes do it, as far as I know. But by Hasidim, they do it. Okay, I want to talk about Birkas Ha'ilanos. Birkas Ha'ilanos is also something that may or may not have to do with Chodesh Nisan. So let's just learn about Birkas Ha'ilanos. It's another beautiful bracha. This, I guess, is our segue between brachos, which we've been talking about for the last 20 weeks, I believe, or 21 weeks, and now that we're talking about Pesach, so Birkas Ha'ilanos is a nice segue. Amrev Sheshes Hani Sigli Mivarech Nalei and Borei Ispei B'samim. Jasmine, you make a Borei Ispei B'samim. Man Demarch Besroga B'chavushi Yisei Baruch Shenazan Reach Tov B'peros. So the Gemara is discussing Birkas HaReach, Brach on fragrances, which is something that we spoke about a while ago. Then the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm at Nafik b'Yomei Nisan v'Chaze Onei to come alav Lavi. A person goes out in Nisan and he sees trees that are blooming. Omer, Barashal Chiser Bolamo Klum, Rabarbo Brios Tovos, Ilanos Tovos, the Hisnaos Behem Bene Adam. He should say, right, blessed be God that nothing is missing in the world, and God created beautiful people and beautiful trees to give Hana'ah, to give pleasure to humans. Amrav Zutra Batuvia, Amrav. How do you know you make a bracha on fragrances? It says, Ka Neshama Taloka. Now, interesting Gemara. I give you the whole Gemara because the context over here is kind of important. In middle of discussing Birkas HaReach, the bracha on fragrances, we encounter the bracha of seeing trees that are sprouting. No? Trees that are blooming. It's tucked in the middle of two Gemaras about fragrances. You get the impression that this bracha would also be a bracha that I can make on a fragrant tree, even if it's not what we would consider a fruit-bearing tree in terms of an edible fruit. But if it is, let's say, a rose bush, a rose is halachically a tree, no? It is perennial. I forgot the term. I always get this wrong. Annual or perennial? What's the thing that you plant it once that keeps on going for a few years? Perennial. Huh?
Perennial.
Right? So a rose bush is a perennial. Right? Roses used to smell nice in the olden days. Today our roses are genetically manipulated. They don't smell at all. They just look good. But the fact is that tucked in the middle of a Gemara about fragrances, we have this bracha about seeing trees that are blooming. You get the impression that the definition of tree might be a fragrant tree as well as a fruit-bearing, edible fruit-bearing tree. That's a point that's made in this Sefer Neshamei Nisan that I bring. Reb Nissen Kaplan is one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir in Yerushalayim. So he makes this point. I think it's a good point. There's a discussion in the Achronim as to what type of tree do you make the bracha on. The Mishnah Brura comments that you make the bracha on fruit trees. Aval ilanei srak lo. Ilanei srak means a barren type of tree, a tree that doesn't produce any fruit. So that tree does not get a bracha. If it's just like a thorn bush or something, so there's no bracha. Right. So the question is, how are we medayik from the Mishnah Brura? Many assume that what the Mishnah Brura means is the only thing that does not get a bracha is ilanei srak, but you would make a bracha even on a fragrant tree. That would mean, l'cha'ora, that when the some of the things in the heather garden are perennials, no? You know what smells nice over there, the heather garden? Right? Halachically, the stuff is trees because it lasts from year to year. And so technically you can make the bracha over there. People always talk about, where do you make the bracha in Washington Heights? So it faces one tree in front of 150 Bennett. There's another tree further down on 184th and Overlook, right? There's another tree over there or something. So, okay, there are two trees. Technically, you should really have two trees to make the bracha on. The lashon of the Gemara is, a person goes out in Nisan and he sees ilani. That means trees in the plural. Well, in the Heights, I have one and one. Beisach Feis, I could probably stand on top of Belfer Hall and look down and see both trees with my binoculars if I would be so inclined. Where, right, maybe I could find some other overlook, pardon the pun, to be able to see both trees. But it's not so easy in the Heights. Well, it could be that in the Heights also, it might not be the best place to make the bracha. The Lashon of the Gemara is man denafik biyominis, the one who goes out. And the poskim say that's preferred to leave the town, to make a procession. The Sefer Kavachayim writes, you should try to have like a minion of people going with you to leave the city, to make a big deal. Remember, why are we making this bracha? We're making this bracha because we see the godless of Hashem, that a tree that throughout the winter was all shriveled up and it didn't look like anything is now coming back to life, is blooming. Right? There's something very beautiful here. No? So therefore, we make that bracha. Shel chiser ba'olam ha'klum. There's nothing missing in the world, and God created beautiful trees. That's a bracha they make. So some poskim say that you should make a whole procession. You should go outside of the city to do it. Perhaps one could say that you should, that it, for us, it would be better to make the bracha up in Fort Tryon, right, in the heather garden, on some of these things that we know are perennials, right, because it is a fragrant thing, and for fragrant things you can make a bracha. Some of the Achronim say that maybe Chacham Ovadia Yosef and the Chazon Ovadia thinks that maybe you can only make the bracha on an edible fruit tree, but the Shalmei Nisan thinks you can make it on a fragrant thing as well. The Shevet HaLevi, one last point, and then I'll take your question. The Shevet HaLevi, it's a Bam Shuvah that I give you over here. Shevet HaLevi says that many Rishonim, he quotes a Ritva. The Ritva says that the nature of the bracha is, I'm thanking Hashem that these trees that seemed like they were dying during the winter, now they're coming back to life. That's why I thank Hashem. So therefore, even if the tree does not produce any fruit, you can make a bracha. That's what the Ritva says. And therefore, the Shem Lai says, you know, we don't rely on the Ritva l'chatchila, but if a person made a bracha, then he found out, or she found out, that the bracha was made on a tree that does not produce fruit, you're yotze, you don't have to make the bracha a second time. This is the one of the only brachas that we make once a year. That's like an elementary school trivia question. Right? How many brachas do you make once a year? So this is one of them. I mean, so many people, there are many joke answers to that question. How many brachas do you make once a year? Oh, I only make the bracha l'haniach tefillin once a year. Boom, you should slap the guy in the face, right? Because you should make the l'haniach tefillin more than once a year. Fine, yeah.
If you're doing the bracha in the heather garden, do you say the shakal before or after?
The shahakal on. Right, so I mean, this bracha you would make before you could even smell it, technically. If I roe it, if I see it. So I would make this bracha first, and then as I get closer, I make the shahakal on all of the spices together that we spoke about, right? They spoke about a few weeks ago. Very good, yeah.
And so this season is
pollen season.
Yeah, but we're also coming into cherry blossom season, and cherry blossom trees, they're called that because of the color of the...
But they don't produce fruit at all.
Right.
So I
but
think...
they're really beautiful.
They are really beautiful.
So
I think... they're not fragrant either, as far as I know.
They're not fragrant, but...
So I think they would not... I think you're better off making... Even though I used to go to the Brooklyn... I think I got engaged, actually. I got engaged to my wife in the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens during Cherry Blossom thing. I have to admit, that's where we got engaged. But we didn't do one of these, like, very fancy, like, engagements that, like, everyone was, like, hiding behind the trees and they pour it out. And our engagement is not on YouTube. but... there's a thing. Someone suggests I should actually speak about and show that, like, to minimize the type people today like make these engagements. It's like these huge things, and it's like prepared for weeks, and then people get offended if the engagement isn't as fancy as you think. So someone spoke to me about maybe speaking out against it, that to try to make engagements be a more normal thing. So that was the whole drasha. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say cherry blossoms. You would not make a bracha on.
Okay.
Right. That's what I'd assume.
No, because
I am
Washington.
They've
gone.
They haven't been broken.
Right outside here.
We have, yeah. In, by the shoal.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tree.
But
right.
I will probably be in, like, by Cherry Lane in Brooklyn Botanic Gardens in Nissan.
That pink one is the cherry blossom.
Right, so we'll have to talk about whether Nissan is Ma'akev or not. We'll talk about that in 2 minutes. Yeah. Great question. So it's a tshuva of the halachos ketanos. That's quoted by all the poskim. Let's go by the shari tshuva here. It's quoted by all the poskim. The reason being, because it says in the nusach habracha like hanos behen bnei adam, lahisna os behen, to get hanoa from them, and presumably the stam hanoa is eating. Well, that would be an argument that if right, it's to get hana'a from, so then smell is also considered hana'a. Looking, we assume, might not be the type of hana'a. It's not the type of hana'a certainly that ever gets a bracha, just to see something, with the exception of Bori Morei Ha'esh on Matzah Shabbos, which is a question as to the nature of that bracha specifically. That's a whole other shir to give. Okay, let's move on. Do you have to make the bracha Dafka during Nisan? So the Sde Chemed basically has a whole discussion about this. The Lashon of the Gemara is, Haima Denafik Pi Yome Nisan. So Yome Nisan doesn't mean Nisan. If it would mean only Nisan, many Achronim point out, I would say someone who goes out in Nisan. Yome Nisan means in the Nisan days. Nisan days means the days when things are beginning to bloom. And therefore, the Ritva comments in Rosh Hashanah that if I live in the southern hemisphere and things begin to bloom, Vesich Nesht in, I don't know, like a different month, but
December.
Not, what?
It would be December.
December, okay. Now you have to flip the year. It gets confusing, right? So December, whenever it is, things begin to bloom then, so that's when you make the bracha then. Right? Yome Nisan means the times of Nisan occurrences. Therefore, many poskim say that if the trees begin to bloom before Nisan, right now, let's say it has a cold winter, so things are not blooming yet. But if it would be a warmer winter and things would be blooming sometimes before Nisan, you can make the bracha then. Let's say it's a very cold Nisan, right? Can you make the bracha in Iyar? Yeah, you can make the bracha in Iyar. The first Truvan Yechavadas, first Truvan Chacham Ovadia's collection Yechavadas, Chelek Aleph Siman Aleph, Chacham Ovadia writes that he thinks he can make the bracha in Iyar also. This is a change of what Chacham Ovadia wrote in his earlier book, in the Chazon Ovadia, when he left Egypt, right? He hated it in Egypt. Imamish hated it because there was like no Orthodox Jews around him. He didn't really enjoy Egypt. So he wrote his Sefer, felt like this was his Yetzias Mitzrayim when he left Egypt to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he wrote a book about Pesach, about Yetzias Mitzrayim when he left. That's the Sefer Chazon Ovadia. So there he felt that you should not make the bracha in Iyar. But I think the consensus of the later poskim is that you do make the bracha in Iyar. In the Sefer Shalmei Nisan, he wants to prove from the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Chavav Sef Aleph towards the end, "Imicher lovarich ad ashrach shegadlu haperos leivarich old." If I didn't make the bracha when the fruit is blooming, so I could still make the bracha later on. But once the fruits have completely ripened, have completely grown, then I don't make the bracha. The fruits are completely grown and ripened way after Nisan, no, long after Nisan. So you get the impression that if the fruit is not completely ripe yet, even though it's after Nisan, I could still make the bracha. Nisan is not ma'akev. This is also important for a conversation that many achronim have a discussion. Maybe women should not make the bracha of, oh gosh, they're going to shoot me for saying this in shul, no? Maybe women should not make the bracha on seeing the trees that are blooming because it's a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama. And even though the practice of Ashkenazi women is that they make brachos when they shake a lulav and they like and the like, but there is a whole school of achrayinim. Some explain that when the entire mitzvah is a bracha and a bracha only, there's no maisa connected to it, so then maybe women should not do such a mitzvah. And perhaps this birchas ha'ilanos is a mitzvah saseisha hazman grama because it's only done in Nisan. So the answer to that question is twofold. First of all, it's not only done in Nisan, like we're trying to say now. It could be done in Iyar, it could be done in Adar. Second of all, right, just because it's only done this time of year doesn't mean it's mitzvah saseisha hazman grama. Mitzvah saseisha hazman grama means that the zman causes the mitzvah to take effect. But this bracha is not caused by the zman per se. It's not that Nisan mandates a bracha. It's that Nisan means that fruits are blooming. Okay, fruits are blooming. So far, so good. And now, we make a bracha.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Because it's similar to what the Turei Evan says in Maseches Megillah about what? About Bikurim. Right? The Mishnah in Bikurim says that you bring Bikurim from Chanukah, that you bring until Chanukah, that you bring from Shavuos until Chanukah. Does that mean that Bikurim is Mitzvah Shazman Grama, women shouldn't bring Bikurim? So Turei Evan thinks, no, the only reason I bring Bikurim at that time is because of technical other reasons. It's not that the Zman causes it, right? It's that something else causes it. And there's a whole literature about this in the context of Sfiras HaOmer, right, etc. So this can also be applied, and Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva Siman Kuf Yud Ches, where he discusses it in the context of women making the bracha on Birchas HaElanos. Okay. I want to make one or two other points about Birchas HaElanos, and then we'll conclude, Rabbi Akiva Eger discusses, do I make Birchos HaIlanos on fruits of Arla? Let's say I have blueberry bushes, right? We point out that blueberries can often be Arla, the first three years of a fruit, right? The fruit is Arla. So can I make a bracha? It's not like Hanos Behem B'nei Adam. People can't get Hano from it. So Rabbi Akiva Eger thinks that you don't make the bracha then. Chacham Avadya feels that you do make a bracha. I have this Rabbi Akiva Eger at the bottom of the page. He thinks that you don't make a bracha on Arla fruit. Chacham Avadya says that he thinks you don't make a bracha on Kelayim. If I have a fruit that was made, right, based on grafting, so that's made against Hashem's will. So to make a bracha, God, you're so great, Shalom Chisar Bo'olamo Klum, right, Barba Brios Tovos, Yilon Osov, say, Hans Pemne, I'm saying, God, you're so great, how can I praise God about something that God don't want? Right? So therefore, right, Chacham Avadya thinks, you do make the bracha on Arla, because God wants it to be Arla, because Arla is a necessary stage to get the real fruit, but you don't make the bracha on Kelayim. That's an interesting suggestion, David. So it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether non-Jews have the issur of grafting or not. It's also a machlokes in Evan Ezra Simon Hay, how we paskin. It's possible that non-Jews are also usur in Harv in Kilayim Behema and in Harv also, yeah. Huh? So it would be mitzvah number 8. There's a machlokes in that gemara, in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches. Reb Chidka, somebody assumes that af al ha kilayim, that non-Jews are mitzvah on it, yeah. It's a collector's item, okay. But the Ramon Evan Ezra sounds like we should be kosher for this, no? That's a big shayla about, okay, whatever. Sirus and Kilayim, those are two issues that come up in that Gemara. Yeah. Okay, what else is it to say about Birchas Ha'ilanos? It's a very beautiful bracha, no? Very nice things. I forgot if there's something else I wanted to say. That's a cute question, but... Yeah, let's just talk about the Arla thing for one more minute. The Dov of Meshar, the Chabina Rav, has a raya that you can make the bracha on the fruit of Arla. What's his raya? The Gemara says that Arla, during Shemitah, the Gemara in Moed Katan speaks about Siyun, that they used to like put markers so that people wouldn't come and take fruits and violate Isurim. The Gemara says that we put the markers during Shemitah because the fruits are Hefker and anyone could take it. So if the fruit is Arla, we don't want people to take the Arla fruit and inadvertently violate the prohibition of Arla. During Shemitah we make this. However, if it's not during Shemitah, we don't make these marks because Halitehu LaRasha V'Yamos. Let the Rasha eat it and die, basically. Right? In other words, you're stealing from my fruit, it's my stuff. Right? So let you suffer and violate the prohibition of Arla. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, the Tznu and Moshe Nesidei, and famous Sugyan Perek Merubah. Okay, fine, very nice. Says the Shabina Rav, maybe we should have to mark Arla fruits, or you're not only during Shemitah, but all the time. Because if Rabbi Akiva Eger is right, that you don't make a bracha on Arla fruits, so we want to make sure that people don't inadvertently make a bracha on this Arla tree. So how do I do that? So I have to make a marker. Oh, this tree is here by Arla. Don't make a bracha on it. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, says the Chabina Rav, is a raya that Rabbi Akiva Eger is wrong, and you can make a bracha on Arla fruits. That's his raya. The question is this raya compelling or not? There are many ways out of the raya. Halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that you don't make a bracha on Arla. Chacham Avadya, based on the Chabina Rav and other things, assumes that we do make a bracha on Arla. Once again, I thank you for listening, and have a good night.